If you are new here, we're super glad you're here. If you're on the stream and you're new visiting us today, good morning, we love you. We're so glad you're here. We don't think it's an accident that you're here. We're going to jump back into our series that we started last week. And man, I would think that this week, after just seeing again the things in the world, how important this is, there's a few levels of the walk. Everybody say the walk. There's a few levels of what we know in American Christianity, and one of them are people who say that they're a Christian. And there are millions and millions and millions of people who say that they're Christians, and some of that might be true, some of it's not, but at least they say they are. And then there seems to be another level of Christians that are actually considered themselves to be followers of Jesus. They're connected to the body of Christ. They serve. They love him. They're just servants, and they're in. And then what we're coming to find out, and unashamedly, I'm coming to learn that there's another level, and that other level are people who know and long for and walk in a deep and intimate relationship with Jesus that stirs all that other stuff. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And so that deep intimacy with Jesus is not supposed to be for a select few of weirdos. They're not missionaries laying down their lives. They're not like the 1%, right? They're not like a biker gang. They're not like the 1% of Christians where they wear a patch. You're like, yeah, I'm really laying it down, the rest of you scumbags. That's not it. Thank you. It's actually called biblical Christianity. Like, I don't know if you realize how intimately after your heart the God of heaven is. I don't know if you believe this, but some of the verses that many of us have been reading for so long about taking his yoke upon us and trusting him day by day, like Matthew 6, like don't worry about this or that and this and that. God's got you. That's my hood paraphrase. I don't know if you know that, but those aren't suggestions for a one percenters club in Christianity. It's actually the anointing and calling of God for all of us. Like God wants to intimately have you know him and be known. And there's a lot of benefits that come out of that. I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a lot of times where I'm just faking it till I make it, and I'm not anti-fake it till you make it. I'm anti-name it and claim it. And if you don't know what any of this is, it doesn't matter. But I'll put on my big boy pants. I don't really have any option. That's the only things that'll fit me. But I'll put on my big boy pants. It's not pretty when I try to small pants. It's just, I'll send pictures later. But Jen's not in here this morning, praise God. you know, I can do the role. And as we started this series last week, I feel God, Antioch, Wichita, the American church, there's just all the things that we're trying to achieve are achievable only when we have the first thing first, and that's the intimacy with Jesus. People actually know how to pray, and it's not. And by the way, there's no right religious box-ticking way to pray. It's continual conversation with the Lord and reading the Word to like actually ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten and to show you the things of God and to get close to him, to feel heaven's breath on your neck when you walk into hard situations. His heart is for us to be sons and daughters. Amen, first and foremost. From there, Jaron, Jesus, things like giving. Like giving, when you talk about giving, it's such a sore subject in the West because it's been abused. But literally, when we talk about giving, and I'm not starting any new giving campaign, we're not building a building. Worship is, giving is just a worshipful thing. It's actually really simple. Like God, even in the New Testament, God loves a joyful giver. That only comes from an overflow that God is enough. I love him. I believe in what his word says. I just want to be sacrificial and give because he's the sacrificial giver. It's just that easy. Evangelism, going to the nations, loving your stinky neighbors with the weird pet bull that never shuts up. Amen. Amen. Hey. I swear, I've lived in the hood off and on for a long time. It is the official dog of the hood. God bless them. Sorry, any of you who love pit bulls and have some, I'm not dissing your dog. Please don't let them come attack my children. But here's the thing. It's possible. It's possible to be that person. And the only two things that keep you from being that person are, number one, you not surrendering your life completely to Jesus. You'll never get there without it. And number two, being aware and actually purposely striving to know him more, putting down the garbage of the world and picking it up. And I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. As we continue on our series 103, which is just aptly named from Psalms 103 in the scriptures. Psalm 103 is just King David, King David, later in his life, which means if you've ever read the Bible at all or not, King David was this young boy kind of left out in the field by his daddy, didn't really have a lot of appreciation from his dad or his brothers, his siblings. God calls him to be the anointed king of Israel. He goes through like 15 years of just craziness in order to get to that call. He becomes king eventually. He reigns for like 40 years over all of it, of Judah and Israel. And in the middle, he has this little issue. He accidentally gets a woman that's not his wife pregnant and kills her husband accidentally, right? He goes through this lamenting process. He's all over the place. By the way, Psalms mostly are David just going through a bipolar roller coaster of faith. I mean, literally, it's like, yes, oh, my soul, right? I mean, it's like a bad emo album from back in the day, but more than that, right? Again, no offense to you emo kids. No offense to you emo kids. I'm just going to leave that out there. but we find David talking to himself in this psalm. And as we started last week, if you look at Psalms 103:1, just verse 1, we see this. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Again, like we said last week, David is teaching us something that is critically, vitally important for us to achieve this intimacy that we're talking about. Don't you love the Word of God? The Word of God, actually, when you have I need to know how to do that. Like, God's Word is actually there through the Holy Spirit. He shows us, leads us, teaches us. Amen. And so David just says, "Bless the Lord." David is talking to himself, and he says, "Bless the Lord." And that word "bless" is just like high adoration, praise, and worship. Like, worship the Lord. Then he says, "Oh, my soul and all that is within me." Like, David is coming to an understanding that it is not your default position in your life to worship. "I just don't feel like worshiping today." Guess what? So what? You don't worship the God of heaven because you feel like it. We worship the God of heaven because he's worthy. And as we worship him, things in our life shift. Just a stupid pastor comment. You ever come into church mad, don't want to be here, you get into worship, and you leave going, "Oh, I wasn't so bad, it's all right, I can do this thing." What is happening? Yes, you have. I've seen you bawl, come in here mad, leaving crying like a baby multiple times. Here's what happens, though, why blessing him, is just, when we say bless the Lord, it means just praise him. Worship him in all things with all your members. And here's what happens, here's the plus side of worshiping God. Number one, you glorify him. The scriptures are clear that we worship and bless God because we were created to worship and bless God. It's literally in your DNA. And the scriptures are clear that if we don't, the rocks will cry out. Like, we were created to worship him. That is a part of your purpose in life. Number two, we take our eyes off ourselves when we worship. I don't know if you know this, but maybe you're so overwhelmed because all you keep doing is looking around your little foxhole. You've been ingrained in protecting yourself and fighting the battle over and over again, and you haven't stuck your head up outside a little while to see the sunshine, and you are so overwhelmed. Worship helps us take our eyes off me, and we put them on the King of Heaven because he's worthy, and because guess what? He's our source. He's the only one that will carry you through and hope and a reminder of what you need. It connects us with hope. Man, when I look down these days, and all I see is destruction and hurt and murder, and Taliban, my heart is so robbed of every piece of joy and peace. If I don't lift my head up to the sky, to the heavens, and thank God for all the truths that are in this place that I can't see necessarily, I just become like them. I become another person on Facebook criticizing everything and smack-talking people and talking about the end of the world and blah, 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 and I'm a Christian, when I should just be focusing on heaven. Amen?
Don't you talk about my Facebook feed, y'all.
Lord, he's hope. Amen? It also reminds us where home is. You realize that? Like when you, you ever had that thing? I remember one time, this just came to me, but I've been kind of disconnected from my family for a long time off and on. Moved out, lived on my own when I was a teenager and had off and on relationships with my mom and my dad. I love them. I bless them. They live in two different parts of the world. They tried as hard as they could, but I've kind of gotten used to not having home until Jen and I kind of rebuilt what that was for the first time for me. But I do remember one day it was like Christmas time, and I think Noah was just born. We only had two kids before we entered into rabbit status. And so I called home to my mom, so my grandma was there, and I'm like, yeah, I just want to wish you guys Merry Christmas, you know, Happy Thanksgiving. And then when I heard their voices, something happened in me where I just started bawling. I started bawling, and I don't do that with them. And it just hit me that even though I acted like I wasn't, I missed home. And when I heard their voice, it reminded me of home. And when we worship and when we pray, when we set our eyes on the address of heaven, it reminds us that that is home. And we, by the way, you long for home, whether you know it or not. Your spirit, you were created to be with him, not separated. You long for home. And when we do that, when we long for home, when we worship, it reminds us that this place isn't our home. Do you realize this place isn't our home? I mean, do you have it sunk into your spirit that this is so temporary? Hope so. That's what praising him will do. Here it comes. As we talked already, though, the problem is it doesn't come naturally. You don't get baptized. You don't surrender your life in a service or, you know, on your living room floor and give your life to Jesus. And all of a sudden, everything shifts in you. There's a reset. And you're like, woo, bless the Lord. I don't even know what a cuss word is. I'm just focusing sternly on heaven. Unless it happened for any of y'all. Brian, didn't happen that way. Praise God, that would have been a bad analogy. As we talked about last week, I just want you to remember this over and over and over again, and I'm going to say it every time we talk about this. The soul forgets. Do you know why that the Lord had his people do festivals and feasts and these calendared things over and over and over again? It wasn't because God's just like a great party planner, right? I'm sure he is. But do you know why he did that? It's a simple reason. To remind his people over and over again of the Exodus, to remind his people over and over again about the manna from heaven that sustained them, to remind his people over and over again of what happened in the Red Sea, about how God split the sea open and they walked through and God crushed their enemies. If God sees it fit for his people to remember, then you need to lead your soul that way. You forget. And that's okay. Is there anybody in here not forget? Because you need to come up here and preach, I'm going home. We all forget. Here's the deal though. Newness in Christianity says, just like David, hey, soul, bless him. He's worth it. I need him. That's where home is. One of the most powerful self-disciplines you can ever come into is to get over yourself and put your heart onto the King of Heaven. I promise you, it's here. Amen? You have to be the number one influencer of your life. And we live in a lot of days of influencers, and maybe you should just make yourself your own private TikTok account and yell at yourself to bless the Lord for certain reasons. Just watch it over and over again, right? Whatever it takes. What kind of influence do you have over yourself? I'm serious. Think about it for a second. What kind of influence do you have over your own heart? Because like we talked about last week, many of us think we're just who we are. My thoughts, just who I am. That's just how I am. It's just how God made me. Believe me, that is not. It's just who I am, and so this is how I deal with anger. Listen, when you become a believer, the Spirit of God moves in, and the flesh is still there until we go and be home with the Lord. So there is a constant war going on all the time inside you. If you have bad thoughts, you go, I just have bad thoughts. I just think inappropriately. That's a lie. That might be what the flesh defaults to, but you also have the Spirit of God in you that can say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to get accountability. You are not defined by how you think. You have control over how you think by the Spirit of God living in you. And we come in a society right now that's just like, oh, whatever you think, whatever you feel, it's good. It's a lie. That's what got us in the sin position in the first place. And God redeems that. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you can do it. Anybody say it like, you can do it. All right. Praise God. That's my child. Listen, a kingdom mind is one that baptizes itself in the things of God over the things of this world. Let me give you some examples, and I don't know how this is going to go, but let's just try it. This is so critical in every area of your life. I just want to give you some examples. It's necessary and possible to bless Him in every season of your life and have like these three things. Is it easy? Is it necessary? And is it beneficial when it comes in every situation? So number one, your baby is born healthy and beautiful. Should you bless him? Yes. Is it easy to bless him? Yeah, probably. Amen. Is it necessary? Yeah, why? Here's the benefit. God gave you that baby. I know this whole thing. Look what I created in my womb. Uh-uh. You are an incubator, baby. Right? I mean, God used your DNA. It's not easy to be a mom. I don't understand what it's like to have children and carry them. You know, you get what I'm trying to say. I don't know what it's like to birth a child. I praise God I don't have to. But in the end, you know what I mean? You have a baby, and if we bless the Lord in all scenarios, this is easy. I want to bless every child we've had. I just wept and thanked God when I was a believer that I had them, prayed blessing and sung songs over them in the operating room and delivery room. What about you paid off all your bills this month? Should you bless him? Is it easy? Really? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Yeah, because who gave you that? The scriptures are clear. God gives you what you need, and God gives you what you need to bless other people. So it's necessary because I got my paycheck. I got this job. Ain't God not going to get my blah, blah, blah? No, God did that. He blessed you with that. You should praise him and bless him for it. Amen? Here's another one. You have friends that are good to you, and you feel loved. You're not lonely. You got people that breathe into your life. Should you praise him? Yes. Is it easy? I'm not having a lot of run with my easy question. Okay, it's necessary. Is it beneficial? Yeah, they're a gift from God. By the way, don't thank God for toxic friends. Get rid of them. Right? Your marriage is great. Should you praise him? Some of you don't know what that is. That is when y'all don't fight as much. You love Jesus, you haven't murdered a child, and the cops haven't been around in like 3 months. Okay. That got 75% of the room. Praise God. Wish I was kidding. Your marriage is great. Should you praise God? Yes. Is it beneficial? Yes. By the way, a marriage under heaven is a covenant with God. It's not two people, it's three. It's the Lord, me, and my spouse. So when things are good, praise God. Amen. The church is growing. We won't even talk about that. Yes, we praise God. Now listen, what about on the flip side? You lose your baby. What happens if you lose a baby? Is it easy to bless him? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Why? We've lost, babe. In that time, it seems counterintuitive, but the world is going to come crashing in on you. Your flesh is going to want to abandon all things, and you're going to have a hard time hearing from the Lord if you're not open. And when we bless him, we don't say, thank you for that, but we say, God, thank you that you showed up. Thank you for the gift of this little one, even for this little while. Thank you that we know that that all creation that under yours and our innocence is with you. Thank you, God, that you will heal me and restore my soul. And this is the enemy. This isn't a part of my character. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not dysfunctional. Is it necessary to praise him and bless him in that place? Yeah. And the world will look at you and go, what are you doing? And your answer is this: I have to bless him. I know he's good. God is as good in you having a quiver full of healthy kids as he is with you losing the one child that you've always prayed for. He's good. What about if you lose your job? Did you praise him? Did you bless him? Is it necessary? Why is it beneficial? Because the scriptures say that he's the one who provides, that if you trust him day by day, and as you worship him and you bless him, even with tears, and if you could be mad, but you bless him, you praise, and you start to get the perspective of heaven. What is heaven's perspective, by the way, when you are worried and that you need sustenance in this? Do you think God's just turned a blind eye and he doesn't care about you? The scriptures are clear. He loves you. He hears the cries of his children. And he is working. Amen? What about if your kids are wayward? You should bless them. What if you're diagnosed with cancer? Should you bless them? Listen, it's not just for God's benefit. It's for yours. I have walked with a lot of people through the cancer deal. And some went on to be with Jesus. Some were healed this side of heaven. And I'm telling you, the strongest thing I've ever seen in people that are battling cancer is that when they praise and bless the Lord. Think about it. At 24 hours a day, this diagnosis is trying to eat away at your brain, and your flesh and the devil are whispering in your ear, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. This is all you got. Da, da, da. You have to get out of that. You have to get out of here. You have to worship the living God and be reminded of who he is and what he's done. Amen? By the way, is death final here? No. Guess what? You won't default to that when you get a cancer diagnosis. You will default to everything is over. What about if your spouse cheats or walks away from you? Did you bless him? By the way, if a man of God or a woman of God walks away from their wife or their kids, I don't care who you are, you're walking away from the Lord. Period. Hear that. Covenant with God is something serious, and we should fear the Lord when he has given you somebody to share life with and you made a covenant with him. When you walk away from them, you cause destruction and you walk away from the presence and the power and the promises of God. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about followers of Jesus. Why should you bless the Lord when the people you thought were supposed to be there broken and have shredded the existence of your marriage and your life? You know why? Because no matter what you do, you can't win them back. No matter what you do, you can't just forgive them on your own power. Believe me, I've walked this. I've been in a marriage where it was shredded by an affair and I almost walked away from everything until from some reason in God's grace that he spoke to my heart and helped me by his grace put my eyes on him and say, whatever you want, Jesus, in this time, I'm going to do it. You know what? You know what he did? Because I put my eyes on him, he said, I'm going to rescue her, and you're going to be her rescuer with me. I wouldn't have gotten that if I would have sullied in self-pity, went and hurt somebody or ran away. But I had to put my eyes on him. Is it important to bless the Lord in every circumstance? Yeah, and not just because God wants you to, because you desperately need it. You desperately need it. Amen? And as we said last week, the beauty of this whole thing was, man, that got serious real quick, huh? The beauty of this whole thing is when God says, bless me, or when we're called to bless, or David talks to his soul, it's not like God's like, hey, bless me and make up some good stuff so that way you can do it. Here's what blessing God is. Real blessing God is just a reflection of you opening your eyes spiritually to see the goodness of God all over the place. Amen? You're like, oh, God's good and stuff, right? And then, oh, wait, oh, we look at this, oh, I have salvation in him. Bless the Lord, right? I've been free from my sicknesses and my illnesses eternally. Bless the Lord. Look at the mountains. Bless the Lord. Look at my teenage son that needs to take a shower. Bless the Lord. Those aren't Dan's boys, by the way. Dan's boys were always well showered. Or they would have been shaved and feathered. And David says in Psalms 103, 1 through 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And here's the next part. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You don't have to make stuff up. You just got to see it for what it is and do it. Psalms 103, 3 through 5, this was the first nugget of where we were last week. It says, who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Let me ask a question. This will determine where we go from here. If I could just help me test this, see if it's from the Lord. How many of us, by show of hands, or you can flip an eyebrow or something if you want to be discreet, how many of us know that in the midst of a hellacious season in life, losing somebody, losing a job, losing your home, losing your spouse, adultery, lies, family brokenness, how many of you, if we were going to stop for a minute and ask, even abuse, even things that have happened to you that were not your fault, that were horrible, that changed the trajectory of your life. How many of us in this room would confess that we did not bless him in that? And we are still have holes. I mean, come on, raise your hand. They're happening all over the room. All right, let's do this. I could talk about that next time. Let's do the work. Let's do the work. Who wants to be free? Huh? Who wants to be free? Come on, the Lord is in this place. Hear him. So sorry that you felt alone in that place. That I was there. So sorry that you continue to feel shame for what you did. But there's grace at the cross. So sorry that you spent the last 20 years living in a shockwave and a tsunami of what happened, but that is not my heart for you. But close your eyes and listen, I am not the Lord, but just assume this is the word of the Lord. But I need you to look at me and bless my name, because I am making all things new. I am the healer. I am the redeemer. I'm the forgiver. I'm the one who destroyed shame. I'm the one that sets you free. I'm the one that loves you. I'm the one that sent my son to the cross for you. But it is time, beloved, that you look me in the eyes and you put yourself back in that situation and you bless my name, because I want to change your perspective. I want to bring you healing. I want to bring you freedom. I want to bring you new life. I want you to reinstall hope in your heart. I want you to know that I didn't take that person to spite or to punish you, but I brought them home. And I want to heal your heart. I've felt all morning that when I got to this place, that God was going to show that I needed to stop there with the sermon, but we needed to go to work together spiritually and praise him and bless him and have a reckoning with the God of heaven right now. Some of you have never seen anything like this happen in church. We're not doing anything extra biblical. When the body of Christ is here, the scriptures say, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. God is here. God is looking to create freedom and new avenues of life inside of you. Some of you haven't even raised your hand because you're still mad at him, or you're still walking in shame. And I'm telling you, he's speaking to your heart. Look at me. Bless my name. Get yourself off of yourself and look into my eyes, because you were created to glorify me, and in me and in only me will that thing be healed, restored, and free. Woman, you're not lonely. Man, you're no longer guilty.
Hey, greetings in the strong name of Jesus. It's me, Pastor Rob. We came to a cool point in our sermon on this morning, talking about blessing the Lord, where we just stopped. As you could see, I was heading that way. And if you've been watching, I put the pulpit aside and just felt the Lord really stirring us to do that one thing, and that is to literally take ourselves back into situations that brought us pain, or that we inflicted pain, or times of just full anxiety and shock, and to bless his name, to praise him, not for the situation, but for all the truth that's in the middle of the situation, that he was there, that his plans are, he's working these things out for our good, and that we really needed to focus on him, because not only is he worthy, again, of being blessed, but he is doing things in us as we look at him, even in the midst of such horrible things, and that brings healing. It brings freedom. It brings new perspective, and it brings life. God doesn't abandon us in those things just to deal with it. He puts us there. He walks with us, and our job is to place our eyes on him. So we just want to, the whole room erupted after this. Man, just dozens and dozens of people came forward. We had a sweet time of prayer and a lot of crying. And so we're just going to honor those folks in that. If you were in the room, like, take that as a sweet nugget. A gift to you, but also we just want to extend this to you if you're watching or listening to this. Man, the Lord is calling you to look into those places where you refused or didn't even, default to that, to be able to worship him through a tough situation. And so my encouragement to you today and my challenge to you is right now, right, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're listening, if you're in your car, you're at home, you're at work, just get before the Lord and carefully process situations that stole the thunder or air from your lungs, and that maybe you're mad at the Lord about whatever it is. And I challenge you to bless him, to thank him, to ask him for his perspective, because here's the truth. No matter what you were dealing with, he was there. God doesn't cause these things. The sin of man has caused brokenness. He redeems us from it. And so any scenario and every scenario that you've been through, we could sit and talk specifically about what God was doing, where he was, and that he hadn't abandoned you. And so I just encourage you to right now, just if you can, or sometime soon, get with the Lord and just begin to say, God, I don't understand these things, but I bless you. I have faith that you were there with me. Lord, I want to trust you because you're good. You've never failed me. You were there. Lord, forgive me for what I did to other people. But Lord, I want to bless you for not that being my demise, that you're slow to get angry, you're patient, and you didn't discipline me according to my sin. And so, which is the rest of the text that we'll be talking about here soon. So that's my challenge to you today. I'm going to pray that into you, and then we ask that you just continue to join us on this sermon series of Psalms 103. So Lord, I just pray over my brothers and sisters this morning who are listening, who are watching, and Lord, you are calling us close. You're calling us near. And Lord, I don't know the situation. I don't need to know, but you do, Lord. And we just want to be those who have been healed by God that come back to give him thanks, even if we go through hard circumstances. Lord, you are there. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. Lord, you don't stop other people from walking in sin. This is the free will part of this, Lord, is that husbands can leave, wives can leave, people can cheat, people can hurt. They do that, and that's because of the sin of man, Lord. But your part in this is just the redemption and justice and mercy that you give all of us. And Lord, we need to have that perspective. So today I choose to, and I pray that we all choose to bless you, just simply worship you in thanks, even through tears or guilt, Lord, and then all of that would be washed away and we would know that you are always with us. So Lord, I just pray that blessing on every scenario right here, right now, that you would just come, your Holy Spirit would meet with whoever's on the other side of this on video or audio, and God, they would have a reckoning with you and they would get a huge amount of healing and your name would be glorified. Lord, thank you that you're pursuing us, that you want to be close to us, and we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.